My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big ass piece of shit.
Welcome to the wrestling show, everyone. I feel like we're actually in a wrestling audience. There's only two of us. I'm Cab Manning along with Mr. Billy Body.
Yes. Well, Cab texted me today. He said, are we doing a wrestling show? Is there any point doing a wrestling show?
Mm-hmm.
To which I said, now is the time that you have to do the wrestling show.
Fuck.
Because people prefer it when things are so bad. Plus, I've noticed a correlation between me now listening to all the other podcasts that I did when wrestling was at its peak. Like when I first got into podcasts, I would listen to all of the other podcasts. And then it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to follow suit with any of these guys stylistically. Yes, it's good not to and sure. I wanted to cut out my, you knows, and all that other kind of shit that certain people do. And obviously chuck a phone in the middle of a room and have 10 smelly guys sitting around it. But other than that, I think stylistically, I'm just different anyway. Like we bring a bit of news. We bring like a legit opinion that doesn't matter if people give a shit about it or not, in terms of some of the stuff we said previously about women's division and not giving a shit that they go to Saudi. And I mean, we didn't care. Like some people really got offended by it, but we were the podcast that never cared about Saudi Arabia. So
see, I do the whole shame on them for Saudi Arabia. I could give a fuck if you take the money from it. Just don't fucking bullshit me. That's my only problem with them, is where they're high and mighty and then they do the complete opposite of everything that they fucking proclaim. I could give a fuck if they took the money from Hitler. If they said, yeah, we're taking the money. I don't really care. I'm doing a show. The money's green. I don't give a fuck. But when they do the whole, you know, oh, women's, you know, revolution and, you know, we're all for non-bullying and equal rights and yada yada. And then it's, oh, no women are allowed here. Sami Zayn's not allowed here. And they go, oh, your money's green. We'll take it. We don't care. And that they're full of fucking shit. That's my issue with them only.
Oh, they're a massively hypocritical company.
Yeah.
Even to the point where they shoved Drew out there talking about the health and safety violations and how to avoid COVID-19. And they're all in the fucking...
How great is their little commercial doing that where they're like, this is how to prevent... And I'm like, aren't you guys like dry fucking each other?
Yeah. It's almost
not even dry because they're wet. Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're full of it. But, and what's the latest story on quote unquote John saying?
I have no idea who John is. Somebody said it might be somebody from AEW or whatever, but I doubt it. I just don't think.
Oh, I thought it was for especially for Vince. Like it's him.
Well, I mean, this guy's apparently come forward to Florida State and said they're making us work and break social distancing rules, but Florida already said that they are essential, so they already know that they're doing that, so it doesn't really make any difference. I don't see how it makes any difference, but
I love
anyway,
that they're essential. It's my favorite.
We know how they became essential anyway. But yeah, it's just hypocrisy all the way, all the time. And that's the thing. Well, the reason I mentioned all of that stuff at the beginning was in terms of, yeah, I have all this time, so I am going back and listening to the podcast because it's nothing to do, because I am interested to see how people are covering it. Is anybody sticking up for them? And it's weird because everybody's kind of saying, we need to stop. But I'm under the assumption that a lot of people are doing what I'm doing in terms of while we're having a break from work, that their listenership has to be up. Everybody has to be gaining from this other than the WWE in terms of all the people that do podcasts and everything. Like whoever does free content must be gaining from the fact that they're carrying on. So
I'm thinking the opposite.
But
when it comes to podcasts,
obviously I'm basing this on one person, and that's me. In terms of, I'm watching the shit show and then listening to shit shows about the shit show. Just to kind of see how people are covering it. I'm very interested in that. If they're basically sitting there and going, oh, well, you know, these are the conditions, so let's try and take the crowd out of it and let's try and judge the match, like move for move. Was that a good match?
You're getting deep with it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of trying to listen to in terms of trying to work out if we can bring any of that analysis into it, or also whether I can start maybe watching this differently in terms of, changing my perspective on it and start looking for different things. I mean, I tried that this week, but it's still fucking, it's just too hard.
It's very hard
to watch. Skeleton crew, the same people on every week. They're doing the shows with like the same 10, 12 people as well.
I watched AEW for the first time in quite a while. This weekend I watched it. And it was so much easier to watch because they had a couple of their guys in the crowd. And I could get through it that way with a couple cheers and some just background noise. Because the way I'm looking at it, it's like, well, if you're in this, you know, stuck in this shitty circumstance, you got to try to, you know, think outside the box. And which is bizarre because WWE is usually that company that does think outside the box, which apparently is going to be them thinking outside the box is wrestling on the roof. Because they go, let's have a different scene. Here's our roof. But them putting people in the crowd in AEW, to me, that makes a fucking whole world different. It's like they're agents because you saw Billy Gunn in the crowd, shit like that. And it's even funnier that they're holding signs and being goofy and shit like that. So I find it a lot easier to watch than I do WWE at this point. And, you know, you still have the ritual of the regular people who watch and go, okay, Raw's on. It's time to watch. And I always use that. That's my getaway time at the house. I go into my room, turn on that TV. But I also use that for, hey, guess what? I get to play video games now. And I fucking play a game while the thing is on the TV. And I'm like, I can't tell you like things that have happened because you're glancing every once in a while. And I don't know what the hell Drew is doing saying, hey, all you, you know, kittens and cats and all that bullshit when he walks out doing a tiger. I'm like, oh, fuck. It's almost, I feel like he's being told to do weird things. And like Braun smiling because we know that Vince tells his champion, hey, I need you to go out there and fucking smile. And some people who we know say, oh, okay, sure, and do what the fuck they want because they know it's not the proper thing to do. It's not going to help them when they're a badass character and you go out there now all of a sudden you're Diesel and you're fucking smiling. But when people are insecure with themselves, such as Braun, you could see Braun just wants to be in the fucking company and he wants to do anything they tell him to do because he's going out there without standing up going, I am quote-unquote the monster among men. You want me to go out there and have a big fucking smile as I walk to the ring like he's, you know, very proud of himself. I'm like, what the fuck? Vince just fucking lost his fucking mind. And if, on a side note, if I need to see Byron one more time fucking pantomiming, climbing a ladder with this face of his, like he's climbing a ladder and then stop and go, oh, and smile to the camera like he's fucking Mr. Personality, I want to fucking slap him around. Tell Drew to get me a ticket over it because I want to go fucking slap him.
Yeah, it's all bad. I try to find things to watch. I try to see if, you know, any of these qualifiers were good matches. I try to watch the men's qualifiers and concentrate on what they were doing in terms of like, because I listened to one podcast and they said that a few weeks ago, Apollo Crews and Aleister Black had a really good match. I did not take that away from that match at all. I just thought it was long and I wanted to hit fast forward throughout the entire thing. And I wasn't watching. I was, when I see Apollo Crews out there, I'm conditioned to go,
who cares?
Oh, this is, yeah, it's going to be, you know, this is going to be 3 minutes. So I don't have to fast forward it. When I see Apollo Crews for any longer than 3 minutes, I'm conditioned to lose interest. So,
and you know, he was going to lose.
Yeah. And these so guys like, went out okay. there and said, these guys went out there and had a really good match, and it would have been a great match if it had been 10 minutes less and whatever. And I was just like, geez, how can you be that, you know, that neutral where you can like take a stance and go like, you know, give him a pass on the crowd, we'll just watch the match. It's like, for me, it just takes me out of it completely. Mm-hmm. So I tried to like, sorry, eliminate the crowd side of it and watch all these matches. And I did pick up on a few things, like Aleister Black is trying to like integrate like MMA stuff into his work, and you know, he's it looks quite smooth, and everything is smooth and everything, but it just comes down to the same thing in terms of these matches are suffering without a crowd. It doesn't matter to me what you do out there, unless it's a you know, one of these cinematic matches, which can justifiably be critiqued in a different way. I'm not going to be interested in it. And then the problem is going to be after WrestleMania, we're going to get suffocated by the cinematic stuff, which I feel like by the time SummerSlam comes around or even before that, I mean, I'm already bored of it. I watched Moxley and Swagger and
I laugh. It's an empty arena match. Meanwhile, so what? Those four people in the crowd aren't there? It's the same goddamn thing.
Yeah, Gargano and Ciampa tried to do it. Edge and Orton did it, and that wasn't good. And then obviously we had the Firefly Funhouse and the Boneyard match. I think from the Boneyard match, it's got progressively worse. Each time I see people trying to do anything cinematic, but we'll see how Money in the Bank turns out. But for me, that's going to have to be the last version of this that I see before I get sick of it. Okay, you got away with a Boneyard match. You're going to ruin a good thing. You're going to ruin something by overdoing it when you've given yourself a ticket to keep The Undertaker in your company for 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. Undertaker could do five Boneyard matches, and the thing that you achieved from that would be, wow, we found a way to make The Undertaker good and not embarrass himself and his legacy for 5 years. Keeping him out of a ring, we can do Undertaker Sting. We can do Undertaker and whoever, any monster, or Undertaker Fiend could be cinematic. And there's so much shit that you can do, but you're going to kill it by overdoing it in this period because you've got something that works. And it'll be typical of WWE to just ruin those matches by doing two Money in the Banks and something at Summer. I actually have a story about SummerSlam. And this week I am going to save it and I'm going to publish it on my site. Last week, Cav knew about the corporate Money in the Bank thing being shot at the headquarters and whatnot, but I don't know if you actually.
We didn't say it on the show because you were still debating if you wanted to report it, but you couldn't get any confirmation, so we held it back.
You said on the show that I've got a story about what they're doing with Money in the Bank, and it wasn't exactly what they're doing with it, but
that is very. It's going to be odd.
Well, end up on the,
this is that cage match that we reviewed in the Monday Night Wars. The three-tier cage.
Yeah, the only confirmation, the only thing that I got was when I checked about it, the guy got back to me and said, yeah, there's like some website, not a very well-known website, but some website have managed to get pictures of them constructing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it wasn't worth me really? Saying it, but worth me doing it. And he said, plus... they've already like filmed that match anyway. So
Jesus, ladder match is already filmed and done.
Yeah.
Fuck. And so we know the winner, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the winner.
Okay.
But I haven't found out who the winner is. But he knows that they were done. It's difficult for him to find anything out for me at the moment when he's not at work. So.
That is true. And you're going to be on Russo's podcast this week to. Talk about some of your inside scoops and how you get them and stuff like that, correct?
Yeah, I'm just checking an email from him now, actually. Yes.
Well, how can people listen?
You've got to go to that real network, haven't you?
Yeah, the Realm network. let me help you produce. Billy's going to be on Worldwide TV. What channel? Go to Vince Russo's Twitter. That's the easiest way to do it, I would think. And he'll have links if you want to sign up. It's a pay service, and I think it's like for $3 a month you can do it. But Disco went crazy on Billy like 2 weeks ago, something like that. And a fan of ours, contradicting Brian, he heard this and let me in on it. And then gave me a link to go listen, and we listened to it, and I was like, oh, man. And it's just that constant, like, those are the arguments I go crazy from, is when you're trying to talk logically to someone, and they just keep laughing. You're like, shut the fuck up. You want to smash someone's face. Because it's like, you have nothing to fucking say, but you keep laughing like, you know, oh, the other person's ridiculous. And yeah, now he's got to fucking do it to your face.
They kept getting the name of my site wrong as well.
I thought he was saying the Dirty Sheets.
He was going to Dirty Sheets, but he kept going to DirtySheets.com.
Oh, kept calling it .com. Okay. But I guarantee he doesn't do it to your face or to your ear. Bet you anything he doesn't. A lot different when someone's there.
We'll see. I feel like maybe he will, but I don't. I'm not.
Oh, I wish I could fucking be on the line. because
I'm not gonna back down from Disco Inferno.
Oh, of course not. But if he doesn't come with it, I would fucking say, don't fucking backpedal now. All that shit you were talking, Mr. Disco, fucking keep going, and I'll have shit written down. You said this, this, and this. All right. What about it?
Oh, well, give me some of that if you have that.
Okay, I will. So, yeah, that'll be airing on Friday.
I remember him just basically being very flippant, like, condescending about this. He was going, well, it's not on any credible site when I've been like dismantling these sites for 3 years. So,
yeah, that was basic. Yeah, his basic thing is just that. And, you know, the name is generic of the site, which I won't deny that. It should be. Yeah, it should have been your name, right? I think, more than anything else. Get your name out there.
But you can. It's not hard to remember the name of the site.
No, it isn't, because everybody does call things the Dirt Sheet. So Dirty Sheets was your site there. So yeah, he. Who said? Meanwhile, he got confirmation from his friend, and then saw it was on your site too, which was very interesting. It was almost exact wording, and Disco kept. He wouldn't let that go. Look, they just copied it from each other. And he's like, this was not released. I heard this guy text me personally, and then the story came out. So what the fuck are you talking about? And it was like, it's like talking to, you know, with Trump. You say the sky is blue, and they go, no. And you go, look, it's right there. And they go, no, it's not. You're like, what the fuck?
This is the thing, though. In amongst these, like, these gatherings on these conference calls, there is, like, there will be like chatter before somebody higher up goes involved. So, for example, if it's Triple H who's assembled a call, or there's various people. There's like a head of like talent relations. There's Vince who's like the main call. Stephanie has people that she manages. So there'll be conference calls where groups of people are added to it. But the thing is that it's well known fact that Vince is always the last to join. So,
oh my God.
I don't know like what call my guy was like. Yeah, sometimes Vince has been known to keep people waiting like an hour or so, like on the call. But it's the thing is that with these discussions, I don't know Vince's guy. I don't know Ben Hameen or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. But if he works there and my guy works there too, and they're on the same phone call or whatever, then the same information comes out. If the same parts were found interesting, then the wording was exactly the same though.
Yeah.
So it almost sounded like Ben Hameen.
Yeah, that was the thing they clung to. It was nearly exactly the same. So if somebody's writing down the exact thing that was said, that makes sense that it would come out that way.
I would think the same text was forwarded to my guy and from the actual person that was in the conference call. And I think they probably both used somebody who was from. I can imagine there's group chats like ours that exist elsewhere.
You know, the guy that I know, where every once in a while I'll get something for you. It's the whole my friend has a friend thing. And so my friend's friend got the whole furlough laid off deal because he's been with the company. I think it's been since 94, 96. And he does something I don't want to say on the show, like something very specific for the company. When it comes to airing live shows. So he's there and he's always chiming in with this is what they've been working on and doing. And he's the one who told me about them having money in the bank on the roof, the ladder on the roof, which he didn't say the other details about. It starts on the floor and they got to work their way to the fucking roof. He just said it's taking place on the roof, which is... You get the gist, you know. So the other thing that they were talking about before that, before he told me that, is which tied into that part, was that they're going through trying to have different sets because they don't know how long this is going to last, and they're going to do their pay-per-views and all that shit.
So this kind of adds weight to my story about SummerSlam.
There you go. So it's that
I'm trying to find my other phone so I can text you while I'm on the call.
Mm-hmm. So they're talking about doing different sets to try to make it look better and not as this boring laser show that we see every week when we tune in. And that was something they should have done when things were normal, was have different sets. If anybody remembers, you know, Backlash and all that kind of stuff, where we got the hooks that were moving around in the entrance area and the TLC with all the chairs that were stacked to the ceiling. And just, it was always, you would look forward to the pay-per-view because it was a different look. Now, it's Raw. That's the set we get every week. So, that was part of it. So, let's see what you sent, Billy, about SummerSlam. There you go. You there, Billy, or no?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just texting you the more information. Okay. That's the backup plan for SummerSlam at the moment.
You know what? That's very much... I mean, can we say this or no?
Because
I almost said it, and then I was like, I want to ask. I'll say it's people could try to put this together.
I'm going to report it on Patreon this week, and then next week we can talk about it.
Okay. People could put it together. It's very, very much like a WCW pay-per-view for SummerSlam. And if you look at the WCW pay-per-views, you should be able to guess how it will be. We'll leave it at that, and Billy can confirm it.
But what do you think of that?
I like it.
But it still was unlikely to have any people.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm looking at things in that world where would you rather have it there or have it in the Performance Center? I'd much rather have it there. I need something new. I need a scenery. And if that's the only thing, at least you'll have those sounds going on. And it'll be something. I worry about if it's windy. How bad could that fucking be? But
we'll talk. We'll start the show next week. And we'll talk about that. Is there anything at all you want to say about Raw? Because
I'm zero. It's fucking painful, is what I could say, and it's a broken record at this point. It's the same show every week. I'm almost like waiting for Aleister Black to get with his wife, because it's very weird with her commenting on it and like they don't refer to that they're married, you know, keeping that K5 and all that stuff. But, and like you were talking about that Apollo Crews and Aleister from the other week. Mm-hmm. That obviously, if you watched it just to see if a good match being a good match, and that's fine, it was a fine match. The problem is when somebody loses every fucking match and someone has won every fucking match, there's no, I don't care how the match is, you know automatically who's going to win, so who gives a fuck? And that's the problem. If they would have been both on losing streaks or both on winning streaks, different story. But when one is constantly losing, even though they're like, oh, he's going to come up now, you know he wasn't going to fucking win. So didn't matter to me.
But how do you fix this role? Like, how do you feel?
You don't. Other than putting people in their audience. That is the only thing I could see that would help at this point. I need fucking noise. I need reaction.
I'm not happy with what anybody is. I mean, even to like go in and interview Aleister Black after matches, like, don't do it. I'm not happy with Drew being Mr. Funny, and all that kind of stuff. Even in relation to there being no crowd, yeah, we can talk about it endlessly. It's a thing that's happening. So
have you heard things around that? Not from Drew, of course, but have you heard anything from the backstage that is Drew not thrilled with having to be Mr. Jolly fucking smiley guy? and jokey guy.
I could talk about what Drew thinks, but okay. In terms of like being Mr. Smiley guy and all that, I've not really even had a conversation about it. I mean,
he said he didn't like that before he was fucking champ. When he was told go smile, he was like, "Fuck that." I say yes, but I close my face, you know. So I can't imagine that he's thrilled with this.
I think the main thing that he's not thrilled about is the fact that, I mean, the fact it's even going ahead still. But other than that, it's the fact that this whole situation with Rollins at the moment. When I spoke to him last week, is he actually getting a title shot off that? I said, and he said, I hope not. I said to him,
hope can't not. Come you off should a, know damn well he is.
He said, can't come off. He said, can't come off a loss. And just get a shot at me. Said to them that he's at least got to beat. He's going to at least beat Owens. So which I think he was given reassurances that yeah, we're going to make him look like a challenger. And there was no sign of that this week at all.
No, it's straight to Drew.
That was the only thing that we discussed in terms of. He said how did because he said to me he goes because I said about the Rollins things, and then he said something along the lines of, have you got any good stuff that I could say? Sometimes he'll just text me very generic stuff sure. In terms of, because we do this for a living, and he'll come to us and say, have you got anything to say? And it was stuff like I said, you know, Seth's been like at war with the internet. You know, he's like criticized independent promoters. You know, he said that like the fans are jealous of him and Becky Lynch. Like, you know, he said that the fans are like spoiled and, haven't got any patience and they're fickle. Like, and these were all things that he said in interviews that I pulled up, and Drew had never read it ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I even said, and he said, you can make mention of the fact that he didn't get over despite the fact that they put him with Austin. They put him with DX. They put him with like everybody. They rubbed him with everybody during his run. And he still blamed everyone else for why he didn't succeed as the champion. So he said, oh, this is all good stuff. And that was it. That's the only legit conversation that was had in terms of do you know of anything that Seth's done or said that I can use? And it was just a case of these wrestlers don't actually read, or they don't actually read as much as us or look at as much stuff as us. I mean, sure. I only did a role that Umar could do, probably even better than me, because he reads even
more.
Yeah, so it was just a simple thing like that. That was it. Like, there was no feeling in terms of like, is he happy? Is it going ahead? Is he happy with his run? Is he happy with how he's being portrayed? Like, none of that really. And I feel that there would be less of that like going around. I mean, or maybe he just saves that for people like Derek, who wants to fly out to Tampa, but. But with me, it was very much like, oh, yeah, I'm just happy to be the champion and we just need to, like, get on with it. So maybe that's his, like, real feeling. But I don't know. I'm not scared to come forward and say you're being too diesel. I even said to him previously, I said, there's a big difference between Kevin Nash and Diesel as to how he won. And it's the same person, but it's not the same person. Because one works. Kevin Nash in the Wolfpack or the NWO is not Kevin Nash playing Diesel. And it sounds bizarre because we're talking about the same man, but you know the difference.
Yeah, the thing that I do enjoy, and he seems to do it and nobody else really does, is the talking to the camera when he's walking to the ring or like right before, when he's getting in the stairs, right? The problem is what he does say to the camera. I think it could be used a lot better. And if he had some good line to say. And I enjoy a goofy line and saying something funny, but it has to be a good line. And I'm wondering if he came up with the kittens fucking line or if they told him to say that. I would have think that he did that. I can't imagine they would have told him to say that. But, and I'm sure that's just something off the top of his head fucking around. But. I think he could do a lot of tongue-in-cheek things about them not having a crowd there, or even when he walks up, cough into his hand and go, oh, I swear I don't have it, and keep walking. Like, oops, I really don't have a bad cough, I promise, and keep walking into the ring. Do little things that are tongue-in-cheek, like only a few people will catch it and be like, oh, fuck.
I think for me, it's more of the gratuitous stuff that I don't like in terms of, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
He is doing that a lot, yeah.
It's for
they're
me,
telling
the
him to do that, though. I guarantee they're telling him that.
It's like, I would own the moment more. It's like, fuck you, I was held down for so long. I deserve this. I should have got this spot 5 years ago. I'm better than everybody here. Now watch me go crazy and beat the fuck out of everybody. Like that.
There is a fine line with that, because that started off heelish and turned into a babyface.
I'm the champion because I'm the best. Like that's it. Like be cooler with it in terms of thank you, thank you, thank you. And then it gets to the point where you're crossing the line of kayfabe, where it's like, thank you for what? Thank you for getting behind my push. Thank you. It becomes weird at a certain point when you're too gratuitous about it. I mean, yeah, if you got the tweets and everything, but when he comes out there and addresses the fact that he goes, the internet can be a crazy place and all I've had is support, that's fine. I would have left it at that, but it's a little bit too much with it's going in a direction. But don't get me wrong, it's nowhere near there yet. We're not at the point where it's Shawn Michaels in 1996 or Cena or anywhere like that. I think that it can easily be pulled back. There's just signs of it getting to the point where people may boo him.
Maybe shut the fuck up already. Yeah.
Yeah, people may, and you know, it's more an indictment on the fans and the fact that they can be fickle. But with Rollins calling them fickle, it's different to Drew calling them fickle, because if they turn on Drew as soon as crowds are back because they didn't like what he was doing on TV during his time, that is fickle. But for turning on Rollins, he brought that all upon himself because it is parallels with his comments on the internet and the stuff he said about Becky and going, you know, if you've got a hot girlfriend and she's in that position in the company and everybody wants to fuck her and you're her boyfriend. I mean, I was in a Hall of Fame induction where Trish thanked her husband and he was booed.
Oh, yeah, like, booed out of his fucking mind. Yeah, yeah. Nobody wants to know.
Like, know your audience. Like, don't put Becky and Seth on TV. That could be the company's fault. And Rollins should have spoke up. And then even after that, to do interviews and say they boo him because he's jealous, because they're jealous that he's with Becky. That's fucking dumb. And to come around and to turn around and say stuff about the independence that both Seth and Braun Strowman have done, that's dumb. Like, Drew's not that dumb. Drew's not going to make all of these mistakes. But I feel like he could go into a bad path where it gets boring as being Mr. Baby Kisser. And that's what he's got to, like, avoid. But at the moment, it's hard to judge because we don't know what the crowd reactions are like because we haven't got any.
What do you think? Do you think he would get almost, I don't know if you'd say in trouble or if it was bad taste or something, like he could either, as he's walking in the ring, like kind of hold his back as he's going there, be like, oh, my back's killing me from carrying this company. Shit like that. Like, you know, not on, obviously just on mic, on camera mic, not on regular microphone, or direct it toward, all the Mexicans he's been wrestling. And say the same thing about whoever the hell he is. Be like, fuck, my back's killing me, you know, carrying these guys in these matches all the time.
I don't know. I have ideas that generally, like, don't go on the TV. I was very much against Seth Rollins losing to Kevin Owens and getting a title shot. And I said that to Drew, and Drew agreed. And he said, I agree. And I think he goes, I can't be, you know, a guy that keeps gets slapped or stomped and just gives title matches away. And he said, hopefully they've told me they're going to find a reason for it. And they lied to him. So, I mean, what can you do? I mean, that's just bad booking on their part. And there's nothing really, and it's nothing you can, fire at Drew. There's nothing you can fire at Drew, obviously, but at the same time, it's nothing you can be surprised about with this company either, because they're not booking for crowds. They're basically trying to hold a core audience here. And I tell you one thing's going to be interesting about this period as well, and this is a good thing to finish up on. We're going to find out what the real core audience is. because they drew a 1.8 for Raw this week, which is lower than all of the ratings that Nitro drew in its final year of 2001. And I have that, did that research this week, or it fell in my lap, but I'm going to try and find that for you. Here we go. Monday Nitro on, oh, your dates are different, Tars. 8th of January, 2.1. 15th of January, 2.6. And that was a share of 3.2 in the first hour as well. And then loads of people tuned out.
You said Monday Nitro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm talking about Nitro because it was a show whose ratings were deemed to be too low to carry on.
Oh, I got you. Go ahead.
22nd of January, 2.1. 29th of January, 2.6. 5th of February, 2.3. 12th of February, 2.1. They did a 2 on the 19th of Feb. Then they did 2.1, 2.1, 2.1, 2.1 all the way until they were bought. The final Nitro did a 3 on the 26th of March. WWE would be fucking dying to get anywhere near a 3. They didn't even get near the 3 in the build-up to WrestleMania. So it is a fact. This week's rating is actually lower than all of the ratings that Nitro generated on its deathbed and were deemed to be too low to keep the show going.
Now, do you account, though, as well for obviously the times being different and there being a lot more media out there and recording and people watching on a computer and things like that? And it's like, compared to all the other ratings that were going on at the time for Nitro, was that Nitro being horrible compared to all the ratings that are going on right now compared to Raw?
Well, Raw still finishes
everything down, you know?
Raw still has the number one hour. Raw's first hour has still been the number one hour on cable throughout this pandemic.
Wow. And you figure it's because it's halfway sports, you know?
Yeah. But for me, I think it's we're going to find out where the bottom of the barrel is. We're going to find out. We're now at a point where the show is being watched by the people who also have the network. Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same people. It's the people who come on, it's people who listen to this. It's people who listen to other podcasts. It's people who moan and moan and moan, but never stop watching or never stop following and never will. We're going to find out who the never will stop watching people are at some point when this number hits its bottom. I take into consideration DVR and the fact that WWE even themselves present shorter formats to watch this. Like, you can watch this on formats without commercials and stuff, which I do. Mm-hmm. I watch it, I record it and watch it on BT myself. But that's for me, that's because it's on at 1 a.m. and there's no way I'm staying up for this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, rest, they'll have you believe, like they had Fox believe, that their Twitter metrics and the YouTube metrics and everything else actually means that they're a bigger company than they were back then in their peak, and their shares are worth more, and they have all that to fall back on. But I say, stop somebody in the street and ask them if they know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is, and ask someone in the street if they know who Seth Rollins is or Drew McIntyre is, yeah, or Braun Strowman is nowadays, and they won't have a clue who any of them are.
Yeah,
it's the man on the street has given up on this, and they're not coming back, and there may not be a casual audience again for some time, because I don't know if this show is going to make, and it's a term I like because it refers to the stock market. The stock market at the moment, they're trying to assess if this whole pandemic is going to be a V-shaped recovery or a U-shaped recovery. And everybody's predicting a U-shaped recovery, and to invest stock in those in the companies that could potentially make V-shaped recoveries and not to invest in U-shaped recovery stock. Now, U-shaped recovery stock will be restaurants and things where social distancing is going to continue on, and bars and things are going to be at 25% capacity when things come back. So even when they're open, it's going to be shit for them.
Yeah.
Are WWE going to be a V-shaped bounce back? And for people to know what I'm talking about, look at the letter V. It goes down, it comes straight up, and then look at the letter U, because we're talking wrestling fans, it's dumb as fuck. And the U is a very different looking kind of letter, where you know, it's a slow curve and it comes around. So it's going to be interesting to see what this is. Are you anticipating a V-shaped recovery the minute that they announce that they're going into an audience?
Yes. I actually expect a W because I think it'll go up and go back down again. People will go, okay, now I've seen a crowd. And then eventually, you know, go back to as normal as it was. I think from what I hear is everybody doing that whole whatever arena or stadium and everything, it's only going to be 25% full. So every seat's going to be every 6 feet. And that's how they're going to fucking work it. So it's going to be very odd looking to have a spread out.
Like, yeah, the sellout, obviously with SummerSlam being a sellout at the moment, you think that they're going to either have to restart selectively refunding people or they're going to have to move the event.
I would think they're doing that selection thing because it's like, well, who's getting fucked? And I think the same with NFL. You go, who gets fucked? It's season tickets. So I have a ticket. You have a ticket. You sit next to me. Oh, what? We don't both get to go? Because obviously it'd be like, all right, well, is there enough? Only then season ticket people can go. And now they're spread out throughout the entire place. And it looks like just a, like you took a paintbrush and flicked it. And it's just splattered. And everyone's all over the place, which will be real fucking weird. But they're talking about for a fucking long time.
I can't think they bring it back like that. I think at some point, especially in that country, they're just going to turn around and say,
fuck it.
You know what? Bring your masks and bring your gloves. And it's on you.
And yeah, it should be. It's your own fucking risk. If you want to go, go. And you know what they talked about today, which I heard, and I didn't even think about it. They said the days of a baseball game and the hot dog guy coming down the aisle are probably gone because nobody's passing it down, 10 fucking people touching it. I'm like, oh, fuck. I mean, Jesus Christ, we're going to live in this fucking world now? Give me a fucking break.
We can that can tie onto our man show because there's definitely stuff to talk about that this week.
Tune into the man show. So let's finish this one out and we'll jump on over to the man show feed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Billy and Cav, the wrestling show. If you want to find all my nonsense, you can go to Lingus Mafia on Instagram or Twitter and go check out my show. Over there, you'll have all the ways to get there. Billy, how do we get to all of your other nonsense?
Yep, there's still content available at dirtysheets.net. That is the actual site. There are various other links that get to it, but that's obviously now, that's just our only site. The Patreon page is the site, so if you want some of the stories, you're going to have to pay $5 to unlock it. But there are some like free stories as well, free stories, free content, free podcasts. So yeah, it's dirtysheets.net. And it's $5 to get everything other than the betting picks. So for $5 you'll get all the stories and all the podcasts. So that's the thing I would do, especially during this time where everybody else is bored as fuck. The other place is lockbetting.com, but in all honesty, being completely transparent,
there's nothing to bet on
other than wrestling
and the draft
and possibly MMA. And you will get all that for just at the $40 tier. So if you want money in the bank, betting picks and whatnot, you'll get that at the $40 tier at the wrestling site anyway. You'll get it at dirtysheets.net. So the incentive to be on the lock betting site, in all honesty, doesn't exist until at least June. There are actually some draft picks there, but they're available on both sites. I have a couple of leans on the draft, but that's really it.
And we'll be talking about that on the man show for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, he's Billy. I'm Cav. We're out of time.